Hi, I'm Laura Ott, and along with my dad, Otto, we're the hosts of the Feel Good Hairdressing podcast. We are from Hair Ott, a family-run group of hairdressing salons and training academy based in the south of England. Our podcast is here to be your virtual salon companion. In it, we will be sharing our knowledge and experience to support you in this amazing industry. We will also be sharing our downfalls and mistakes in the hope that you avoid making them. Join us as we explore the world of the hairdressing team, giving you a behind-the-scenes look at the magic that happens beyond the chair. So, whether you're a seasoned hairdresser, salon owner, or new to the industry, this podcast is your VIP pass to the heart of the salon. Today, we're talking about managers and the role of the managers within the salon. On Feel Good Hairdressing, we call them the maestro managers because they've got to be conducting so many different elements. But it's safe to say that we have spent the last couple of hours arguing whilst we were planning for this podcast what those elements were.
Being a manager, it takes so much in, and we agreed after hop still I'm invited to your birthday party, but we came to agreement the most important thing is cash. Yeah. Without cash we can't assist. It's goal setting on people, clients' experience, self-development and curiosity. And if we should have some time, it's red flags.
Yeah.
But let's go back to cash.
Yes.
And without cash, the business doesn't exist. So what would you advise? Or how do you see it?
To be a good manager, you need to understand the cash that is coming in to the business. The first stage would be that the salon owner has given you some guidance on that. So we're talking predominantly about managers that are working with a salon owner, but of course many salon owners are managers themselves, which is even more vital to understand the cash element. So as a manager, you need to understand the money that's coming into the business and what goals a salon owner has for increasing that money and then drilling it down to the people. So say for instance, if you're the salon owner wants to increase the weekly income by 10%, it is then kind of like the manager's responsibility to work out what that actually means in a people sense and then using the people management to set the goals appropriately.
I think this is very, very good. Wouldn't be one of the fundamental things, especially if you're a manager, you be a designer, so you start to be a manager. Well, isn't the most important thing for you to realise? The money who comes in does not belong to you. I think we always have to remember, right? You see maybe, wow, it's a lot of money coming in, but this pays the wages, rents, and everything else. So the fundamental is, I think we have to speak to the managers for them to understand the money who comes in is not your money.
That's a really good point. That's why you can do the £1 coin exercise. You could work with your accountant with this if the salon owner doesn't know. All the money came into the salon was £1, and then you show where the money goes. So for instance, 50p of that £1 could automatically go to wages. And then you could have 10p of that pound goes to materials. But then you could have 30p of that pound go to rent and rates and utilities. So then all of a sudden, that's 90p that's completely gone from the business. And then if you reach certain levels, you know, the tax you've got to pay, that could be 2p or 3p. So then really it's how much you're left with once all those expenses have gone out. So just doing the pound coin exercise is something really good to understand your figures.
As an experience to all managers and salon owner managers, I think it's the best exercise you can do, but I always advise you buy a bottle of wine while you do it. You know, it could be very, very depressing.
Yeah.
But at least it gives you the guidance.
Yeah, completely. And the thing is as well, if you're VAT registered as well, you know, you've got to remember that the money coming in, 20% of that isn't yours anyway. It's just a tax that you're collecting on behalf of the government.
Yeah. If you're VAT registered and everything like this, can I just ask a question? Can you buy the bottle of wine And do you get that? Can you get it against the tax?
Is it tax deductible?
Is it tax deductible?
it's an essential business expense.
Is it essential? And believe me, before you do anything, as a manager, owner manager, be aware of the costing, what it costs you to run the business.
Yeah.
So basically, if this is one of the fundamentals,
yeah.
I don't think there are plenty of other things, but I think to a certain extent, once you understand this, we can go to the next step. Would you agree there?
I would agree with that. You have to have that understanding so that then you can then see how to improve things.
And step forward.
Or even just to have control. You know, it could be that you might notice through doing that exercise that you're buying way too much colour. And it might be that it's sitting in your shelves. It just makes you... Once you become aware of something, you become aware of it, and then you see it more in the salon.
Actually, you're quite right there. You really have to know what everything costs you.
Yeah.
But as I say, there's so much knowledge in between. So this is actually about an under 20 podcast.
Yeah, completely.
It's purely, as we always say, the bucket where you lose all your clients through, where you lose money.
Oh, yeah, the bucket.
The bucket. Now... The next thing you say, as a manager or owner managers, you have to have a reason why you do. Why do you go all this pain? So you have to be able to goal set.
Yes.
And we start off with the goal setting, and then once you know where you go, we can go to the next step.
Yes.
So how would you recommend the goal setting?
Well, I think the goal setting, when you're doing it from the salon owner and manager perspective, it has to be financial. You need to know that you're setting a goal to take X amount of money a week. So say if you take £6,000 and you know that your goal is going to be £8,000. As a manager, you need to understand that that's how much money you're taking a week. But you then need to drill it down to the team. But you need to drill it down to the team in figures that they can understand and they can achieve for. So £8,000 would mean nothing to a team member, but if you're saying to them, talking about their colours and doing extra colours a week, you need to make the goals relevant to the team.
So what you really say, to achieve the targets, what you need to survive, and eventually you're lucky, you buy two bottles of wine, or maybe you can't afford a holiday, what we always desperately deserve. You have to have the ability to give your team goals what are important to them.
Yes.
It really, but most, don't tell them what is important to you. I would say the most important is worth sitting down with them on what is important to them.
Yes.
But sometimes I hear young people are lazy or they're not interested. But, you had a stylist. She got up 2 o'clock in the morning to get a ticket for one of her singers, what she really liked.
Yeah.
So if they find what they like, they will actually put tremendous effort in.
Yeah.
But it's up to us to find out how we're can support them to be successful in their own way.
So what's important then is for the manager to understand, so if that figure is £8,000 and then drilling it down to the team and setting them goals, so the manager needs to understand what that £8,000 comprises of. So if it's like how many clients it is, how many of those clients had colour, how many of those clients had treatment, what the average bill was, the retail. Because it's all those elements that add up to the income, because you can't just like throw out a figure of, right, I want to increase it to £8,000 without actually understanding, well, how are you going to get to that £8,000? For us, retail isn't as profitable as it used to be. So there was no point for us setting a target that was based mainly on retail, whereas we're a really strong colour salon. So it makes more sense to set our target on building up on what our strength already is, rather than trying to bring something that's a weakness back up.
So what you're saying, Laura, what actually is very right. Instead of looking for the weaknesses to begin with, look for your strengths.
Yes.
And work on everybody's strengths.
Yes.
So this gives you actually, then you would say, an instant boost.
Yeah.
But if the minute you start talking about, we all have weaknesses, but let's focus really on each other's strengths, build this up. Und once we have this successful runs, we can support each other and our weaker areas.
I would disagree with that a little bit. There's quite a lot of research now about, it's when it comes to people management, about how, like, it's a very extreme person that can be good at everything. And therefore, it can be a bit demoralising if somebody that is weak in an area is told to build that up. So really what should happen is that you should keep building and building and building on the strength, and then in the hope that whatever is the weak area will come up, but not to make that the focus, to make what they're already good at, make that the focus.
Purely for a discussion point of view, say you have some amazing colorists and would do brilliant long hair, but now you would like them, say, like, you would like them to become better in short hair.
Oh, yeah.
Would you put some education into it?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Sorry, I was talking more about if you were goal setting, and really what we're looking at is number of clients that have colour, number of clients that have treatments, number of clients that buy retail. That's what I really mean when I'm talking about building on their strength, is that if you're doing a goal for a team member, that involves money to focus on what they're doing well now and then increasing that. But sorry, I didn't mean it in the sense of education.
Actually, you were quite, what are actually ditches now? I moved too early to the next stage.
Yeah.
But I must say, let's go back once more to the goal setting on people. I think this is brilliant. And would you then, maybe to get them with the team, what else they would like, and what other opportunity would there for them? Would they say maybe meet extensions, maybe meet barbering, maybe meet rheology? So would you go and meet the team to find different avenue of income?
Yeah.
So this really is a good way of doing it.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. How can you build the business up? Because a lot of the time, a manager won't necessarily see what the clients, or hear what the clients are saying to the team, but the team where they're working with the clients, they can see perhaps the different areas where they can build up the business.
Yeah, again, I quite agree with you. I'm really quite perfect, but even I'm not fantastic in everything. So
should we talk about your treatments?
In this way, yes, really build the strengths. And you know what? I think it gives enjoyment to the team, become really an expert and specialist in your own field.
Yeah.
And then as the manager, it gives you the director's button to move it all together.
Yeah, I think sometimes a manager, if a manager was doing everything that in what people's mind think a manager should do, it's too much. One person can't do that. So therefore, a manager can rely on people within the salon that are experts in different things. So the expert short hair trainer, or the colourist, or the MCA, or the, you know, the Weller Master colour expert, or even...
Or other companies expert.
Yeah, or other companies are available.
Other companies are available.
Yeah. The manager shouldn't be the person that's the expert in everything, because it, for one person, it's too much.
Yeah, I really quite agree with you. It's, as me say, so orchestra is a team.
Yeah.
And for them, however, saying there's no perfect team.
No.
There's a team willingness to create the perfect team.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think this really explains it very well. And once we have this, then you really go to the clients and clients' experience.
Yeah. Do you think the clients before the people?
You know, this is very much a chicken or egg situation. But you know what? What actually comes first? The cash.
Yes, the cash comes first.
One thing we know, if we have cash, team and people, you need the cash.
Yeah.
I mean, out of cash, you wouldn't have anything. You wouldn't have a building. You wouldn't be able to pay your wages. Now, I think what comes first, the people or the team? I think both come together.
Yeah.
I think it's a real track, two lines going together. And you interchange it all the time. You really, what it is, you consistently improve the experience of the clients.
Yeah.
What on the track next to you, you're doing by giving more education, you're more specialized. once you do this, it goes to the underline, the experience becomes better and better.
Yeah. Would you agree that perhaps one of the biggest challenges for a manager, especially when they become a manager, is that sometimes they're just expected to know it without having the education for it?
You mean the manager don't know it or the stylist don't know it?
The manager. So the manager's just expected to manage it, but they haven't actually been given any education in how to manage.
The biggest scandal is how many people in body management, and I think this is all over industry,
yeah,
who actually never ever had any I don't like that saying management training.
No.
Management seems very wishy-washy.
Yeah.
But if you have specific education, first, any management training, you won't go into management course, stay there for 2-3 days or a week or whatever long, and you know everything.
Yeah.
I think management training really is, you have a situation, you're not able to deal with it, or you think, I could actually deal so much better with this. And then you look for the education you need and see where can you get the education to make you excel in this problems or circumstances. Or it's consistently, if you do this, you build a huge variety of knowledge.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's completely unexpected for one person to know the consistent problems as arrive. Yeah. It's like you're teaching haircuts. People go to the apprenticeship, you're teaching so many haircuts, but you can't guarantee the minute they go on the floor, one haircut will come in. Oh, I never done this before.
Yeah, of course.
So, but this is a willingness. It's a willingness of, as a manager, to be willing to learn.
Yeah.
And it's not just a willingness. It should be a joy. I think you become a manager, the joy of it for curiosity and self-development.
Yeah.
Just to get there. And I think it's not a hop, it's not even then. Once you have your goal, you know the money you want to earn, the holiday you want to go to, the flat or the house you want, it's just a poor choice to go together with people and this experience and support each other and just become better.
Yeah.
I think once you be able to learn, and you enjoy the learning.
Yeah.
You're in heaven.
It's one of the things that we were talking / arguing about is, you know, why we would both agree on the fact that the manager role within the salon is perhaps the hardest role. And it's even harder if you're the manager owner.
Yeah.
But why would somebody become a manager? What do you think is the reward for them?
I would say, this goes quite a little bit too deep,
yeah.
But as human beings, we want to develop,
yeah.
We want to grow. And I think any problems you have, if there's a willingness to learn, to grow, accept, quite often you will fail.
Yeah.
But if you're still willing and keep going and be surrounded by some people who walk with you, we'll get the whole experience.
Yeah.
I think it lifts you as a human being.
Yeah.
I know it was wonderful. When I worked at Suzune, I worked with some team members in Jingles, or even through all the experience with our salon. It was never the big things that really got me excited. It was just the joy of working with some team members. You can utter trust, you can rely on the joy being around.
So is this as a manager?
This as a manager, yeah.
Yeah.
You have this joy then, you have to be able to work with these people. And the other thing is this, what I find, if you have a good team with you, right, they want to have more knowledge. This means they're pushing you.
Yeah.
And this means you have to become better all the time.
Yeah.
To give them the knowledge for them to become better. So it's quite a fantastic machinery. Not why you have to do it. It's something supporting each other to grow each other.
Yeah.
And if you get this situation, it won't happen all the time, but if you get it ever so often, I think you're not working. You're just having fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's absolutely amazing.
So would you then say that whilst we've identified these areas that we can agree on for the management, really it's the people that perhaps the most important part?
I think it is the people, yeah.
Do you think that the main role of the manager is the people side?
Yeah, in many ways. So long as you understand the financial side, it comes back to the people side.
Yeah.
So, especially as a manager, so long you know the cost is under control, you're improving all the time, it's really people. I would say, if people ask me what business you are in, we're not hairdressers, we're in the people business.
Yeah.
Our clients are people, our teams are people, so we are in the people business. And like, you have to like people.
Yeah.
You really have to like people. You have to get the joy out of people. And you have to understand, ever so often, things will go wrong and they won't be quite the same. And there we have, again, to catch all this, we have our red flags.
Yeah.
So if we build a structure in, and I have to say, as you know, Laura, you build all the structure in. So long you have a structure in, it's like when something goes wrong, and things will go wrong, the main thing really is, it doesn't get too bad.
Yeah.
While any business, we go up, 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 and then we always drop down a little bit. Mm. It's really how far the drop will be. And if we catch it early enough, it won't do us too much damage. So if by step by step by step, we're increasing and become more successful. And I would say when we're talking about steps, instead of going from one point to the next, put it down all to bite sides, and then ever so often have a little celebration.
Yeah. So when you say bite sides, you mean like, so don't go the massive goal of in,
no.
You know, but break it down into small steps so it's a lot more manageable.
Yeah. So, and then it makes it always so much easier, right? You know, as business just now, is it can be quite overwhelming.
Yeah.
You will get setbacks, you will get complaints, you will get haircuts will go wrong, stylists will leave. But you need both. You need your big goal and the reason why you keep going, but you need the little goals to be able to celebrate.
Yeah.
And I think, as I always say, I have more fun celebrating with hairdressers than anybody else.
Yeah.
So they are a pleasure to celebrate with.
So as a manager, you need to know what your team's goals are,
yeah,
and help them celebrate their wins.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then as a manager, you also need your own goals, don't you?
Again, this is very, very important. If you haven't got your own goals and your own self-development, you will be drained.
Mm.
And at the same time, depends who you work with. If you own a manager, give yourself breaks ever so often.
Mm.
The biggest problem is...
Give yourself breaks.
I mean, maybe you could get so overwhelmed and get so stuck in working.
With clients. Yeah, so you're too busy on the shop floor.
And actually, when I mean break, sometimes take 1 or 2 days off.
Yeah.
Step back and breathe.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it could be too overwhelming.
Yeah.
And it depends, you know... Your family could suffer, your people you care about could suffer. So always have the willingness to step back and breathe sometimes.
Yeah.
Even if it is just maybe afternoon or any time really. Try to avoid to get overwhelmed. Or maybe build a support system for you where you can go to when it is just too much.
Yeah. So what we're really talking about is with the manager is say like they've got a full column of clients, but then they're also looking after a team.
Yeah.
You know, it can get too much.
A complaint can come in.
Yeah, too much for one person.
Somebody is leaving.
Mm.
The boiler breaks.
Yeah.
Water comes through the roof.
Yeah.
So there's endless situation that can arrive.
Yeah.
But so it's very important. You have a support system with you,
yeah,
where you sometimes just
step back and say help.
Yeah, yeah, completely. I think what I find frustrating sometimes is that phrase, it's not personal, to a manager. You know, so, oh, it's not personal. But you're like, well, yeah,
it is personal.
It is personal, of course. And when you're in the people business, of course it's personal.
We wouldn't be in hairdressing business if we wouldn't be in people.
No.
And yes, we do get hurt.
Yes, completely.
And but then again, if you don't want to get hurt, you never cared.
No.
This is like, oh, you never ever will fall in love again. So be prepared to be hurt.
Yeah.
But then get the joy of starting off again.
Yeah.
With a person or with your team you care.
Yeah.
Even if they will hurt you again, it's your life. You live, the most important thing is this then, in self-development, live your life to your standard.
To your values.
And to your values. This is so important.
Mm.
Be your own lighthouse.
Yeah.
You know who you are. And even, yes, and I find with so many hairdressers, you give so much and keep giving and accept you get hurt.
Yeah.
But at least you are you.
Yeah.
And you don't become the person you don't actually want to be.
No.
I think I start crying now.
I've had experience with, or the managers that you see do well, are usually the ones that actually care, don't they?
If you care, you get hurt.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
But then if you care, you celebrate the wins as well.
Celebrate the wins. And I think, let's hope, or don't hope. Hope is a terrible word.
Yeah.
Make sure you win most of the time.
Yeah.
And have a goal, have a part,
yeah.
Have the cash, have the goal setting, have the people, do the client's experience, self-development, be curious, look at everything what is possible, and then next time you go for the red flags.
As a manager, you've got the responsibility for the cash, you've got responsibility for the team, and then you also have a responsibility for the clients and the clients and the client's experience?
Yeah, I think, let me say about the clients. I think it is important for the team to understand every client is their responsibility.
Yeah.
A client is a team responsibility. A client is not your individual client.
Mm.
Yes, you go to the client, you look after them, but you have to accept the responsibility. We are all responsible for every client in a salon.
So it's the manager that looks after the detail to make sure that the team understand the responsibility.
Yeah.
So are you saying then that the manager needs to make sure everybody knows what's expected of them?
The manager has to make sure everything what is expected of him. And you have to understand, I think statistically, you have to tell sometimes somebody seven times something till they actually be able to do it.
Yeah.
I could be wrong, but I think that's about the statistics when I teach haircuts.
Yeah.
You have to do it seven times to have an understanding. It's really how you pick your team and do they have the understanding how important the role is.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter, you have Saturday assistants, color technician, on how we rely on each other's support. I always say it's like you can have the most amazing sports car. If there's a screw missing, the car doesn't work.
Yeah.
So we're relying on each other to do the right.
Yeah.
And if possible, and the best way of to be able to do it.
Yeah, and then it's the manager that brings out the best in them.
It's the manager to bring out the best of them.
Yeah.
But he needs the support of the team.
Yeah, of course.
And it takes a certain amount of time and understanding, and things will go wrong.
Yeah.
But as I say, I'm so easier. Everybody understands how important their involvement is.
Yeah.
Not how important the team is to you and to everybody else. I would say a team is not what works together. A team what trusts each other to be able to rely on them to do the right action, what it needs to feel everybody successful.
So what is the manager's role within that then?
The manager role in it is really to give them the information and the knowledge and the understanding.
Yeah.
Right? Very often is to be successful, you have to be able to do the highest, be able to charge the highest possible prices. But the experience has to be so fantastic,
yeah.
So you remember the whole experience, and the money is incidental.
Yeah, completely.
Yeah.
Completely.
So it's very, very important. We're all supporting each other.
Yeah.
And we have each other's success in our mind.
Yeah.
And again, that's what gives us such a good experience.
Mm. So with the manager, so to make sure that the team's got the information that they need, how important do you think one-to-ones are in catch-ups?
I think one-to-ones are really the air what we breathe to be successful.
Yeah.
But yes, you should have... I wouldn't take them always too long. What would you say is a perfect time?
Well... Funny enough, the same research that showed that working on people's strengths was the best route to productivity also said that the best one-to-ones are weekly 15 minutes.
Yeah, yeah. So
just to catch up to see how their week has been and what they're focusing on this week.
Yeah.
And that was the best thing rather than a long-winded... Because I know that we used to do like yearly appraisals, but it wasn't very productive.
A complete waste of time, actually.
No, completely.
You went through the same things, and very often there was no action afterwards.
No.
But it was just too much.
Yeah.
I quite often find if you have the time, and most of my one-to-ones is doing the washing up together.
Yeah.
And you get quite a lot of information.
Yeah.
But not everybody has the time and the ability to be able to do this.
Yeah.
But 15 minutes is fine.
Yeah, 15 minutes. Just 15 minutes a week or 15 minutes a fortnight.
And be aware what the education they get.
Yeah.
It would be fantastic if you have... I would say as a manager, what you should actually have one or two things what you're really, really good at.
Yeah.
And this is what you then can teach the team.
Yeah.
So they know there's some... I do it with short haircuts, but if you're brilliant with long haircuts, teach all the team your long haircuts.
Yeah.
But then you have to learn new ones so you'll be able to teach your team new long haircuts.
Yeah.
Have one or two things you're really good at where you can spend time with them and teach them.
Yeah.
But this is then better than a one-to-one.
Yeah, completely. It's also just about spending time with the person.
Yeah.
And not just, and finding out more about who they are as a person, opposed to just, you need to be doing more of this or that.
Yeah.
And working out where they are in their life and what they want to achieve.
Yeah. I think our misunderstanding sometimes is the pressure they are under.
Yeah.
Yeah. They have money problems. They have probably family problems.
Yeah.
You never know when they get dumped by somebody.
Yeah.
We are there. We're going back what we said in the beginning. We are a people business.
Yeah.
And what you should do when somebody starts, or if you look at somebody, don't always see what they are now or where they are now. See the amazing person they could become.
Yeah.
Right? It's, I think, success, being really successful as a business, if just average people to extraordinary work and extraordinary behavior.
Mm.
What anybody can do, if we be able to give them the guidance and they have the heart and the right place.
Yeah.
It's for everybody.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
So for a manager then, it's about seeing who they can become rather than who they are now.
Who they
and then
become.
Getting stuck in that vision of who they are
now. Yeah. And tell them.
Yeah.
And tell them. As you grade yourself, as you say, as we build a manager, as I always say, as we're building haircuts, we're building our team.
Yeah, of course.
In many ways, we're building them to build together, we're building their individual people, you know, that this is what we are.
Yeah.
People business in the building.
So we talked quite a lot about people and cash and clients. Let's just talk about curiosity, self-development. Is there any books that you read or any podcast or any, you know, TED talk that you've watched that completely changed or had a real big impact on the way in which you managed?
I must say the biggest change for me was joining 365.
What was 365?
We're going back probably about 40 years ago. It was a business organization for hairdressers and run by hairdressers. Leslie Spears was in charge. We always said came from Sassoon's. We ran a very busy salon. We did brilliant haircut, but we didn't make any money.
No.
And he actually changed it all.
Yeah.
And this, he guided us to the books we needed and to the knowledge we needed. So without this, I never would have got the joy, the pleasure, and I never would have stayed in business for 60 years.
Yeah.
So yes, I think it needs organization, and for this it was, for me and probably for lots of people, it was the right organization at the right time.
Yeah, of course.
And I'm very grateful I could experience this.
Yeah.
And again, me going back there, lots of it was the joy being with other people.
Yeah. And that's what a manager needs as well sometimes,
isn't
it?
This is what a manager needs.
Like it was, as you were saying, having that support network.
Be able to.
Because it can be quite isolating.
Yeah, be able to step out and there's support for you. Otherwise, it can be very lonely and you think you're the only one.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, you're the only one, you have the same problems. But as I say, I speak to people and many ways, it's the same problems, and they're speaking about the same areas what we're speaking a long time ago.
Yeah.
You know, it's people, it's stylists, it's this. Lucky enough, we are in a much better place with this. We're having our own education center.
Yeah.
We're doing our own training. We're doing our own development plans. So
yeah.
As I say, I'm going back, it all actually started with Leslie, so thank you.
Yeah.
And it really makes my life, or our life, easier.
Yeah, yeah. We are running a Maestro Managers course, the details of which are on our website, www.feel-goodhairdressing.co.uk. Our next Maestro Manager course is in September. It's on the 29th and 30th. The location hasn't been set yet, but it's going to be around the southeast Hampshire area. If you check out our website, www.feel-goodhairdressing.co.uk, go to Maestro Managers and you can register your interest. And that's a wrap. Thank you for tuning in to the Feel Good Hairdressing podcast. We really hope you've enjoyed this episode. Before you go, don't forget to subscribe, rate, and leave us a fabulous review on your favourite podcast platform. Your support is totally appreciated, and it also helps others discover the world of Feel Good Hairdressing. It would be great to connect. Come and say hi on our socials. We're on Facebook and Instagram, and visit our website at www.feel-goodhairdressing.co.uk. We would love to hear from you. Remember, the magic doesn't end here though. Every day is a chance to embrace your brilliance, and we're right here cheering you on. See you soon.